You're listening to Insight here on Camp Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, in today for Vicky Gonzalez. Wildfires have become a constant risk across California, with blazes growing larger and more unpredictable, especially driven by the worsening impacts of climate change. The Golden State is coming off a very dry winter, and as weather gets warmer and the land dries out, the risk for disaster only increases. A recent report from the National Interagency Fire Center suggests California could be especially vulnerable later this year. While the North State faces an above-normal potential for significant fire heading into June, and expanding even further in July and August. Today we're going to get a preview of what conditions look like and what preparations are being made to help battle the peak of wildfire season. To begin, we're joined by meteorologist Julia Ruthford and wildland fire specialist Kristen Allison from the U.S. Forest Service. Welcome to you both to Insight.
Good morning. Thank you.
You both work in predictive service. What does that include when it comes to wildfire preparation? And what are each of your roles in that? If you could tell us a little bit more.
So I am a meteorologist that works in covering the Northern California area. And Predictive Services is a group that includes meteorologists, fire analysts, and intelligence officers. And our goal is to bring together all the fire environment information and the information from what's going on any ongoing fires together to help support the people that are making the decisions about where to move firefighting resources around, how to respond to it. If we see a dry lightning outbreak coming, for example, provide the information so they can decide where to pre-position air tankers and extra crews or keep people on later so that they're able to respond more quickly to the fires that do happen and are able to contain them more quickly.
And Kristen, can you tell us a little bit more about your role as well?
Sure. I'm a fire management specialist, a fire analyst. So I work in the fuels and fire danger, doing wildland fire analytics with fuels, fire danger, fire behavior, occurrence statistics, and prediction for fire potential and resource needs.
Amazing. So, Julia, it's no secret that California had a rather dry winter, with the April 1st statewide snowpack being the second lowest on record. We did have some decent rain last month. How do these past weather conditions inform projections and preparation for the rest of the year?
Well, they're a big ingredient in setting up the conditions as the season goes on. Interestingly, we didn't actually, if you look at the precipitation from how much rain fell since, or precipitation fell since October 1st, which is when the water year starts, it actually was generally near to a little above average for the total precipitation, just with some areas of below average in the Northwest and in some other areas along the coast. What really is causing the concern is the lack of snowpack. So it's something you can think of right now as more of a snow drought impact. As far as how those numbers have changed as of today, our statewide average is 14% of normal for the snowpack. And then for Northern California, the Northern Sierra and Trinity Mountains, it's about 6% of average. And then 15% for the Central Sierra and 26% for the Southern Sierra. And those really low snowpack numbers are true across large portions of the West, Pacific Northwest, Great Basin. Northern Rockies did a little bit better, but they're still averaging about 50 to 60%, so well below normal. And that snowpack really matters because that's the water supply for the entire summer. And with our above normal temperatures, that'll continue to melt off really quickly. So it's more of a preconditioning. We're in abnormally dry conditions, kind of edging into drought on some of our northern and eastern areas, but haven't moved into drought from the perspective of the fuels and vegetation quite yet, but we're really set up to in a place where that will continue to become more impactful as we get further into the summer.
I was just going to say that snowpack for the fuel side of it in the soils, it just keeps it moist through the spring. So since we didn't get a very large snowpack and it actually burned off a little bit quicker and it turned off, it means the fuels at the middle and lower elevations are losing their moisture buffer ahead of when they normally would.
Wow. Can you give us a sense, Julia, of how California compares to other states in the western U.S., some of which have also seen dry winters? Are we in an unusual position?
No, well, not unusual in the sense of compared to the other states around us. There's a lot of areas that are also with very poor snowpacks and leading in with those same similar concerns. It was pretty widespread impact of the lack of snow. And that was just due to a lot of our winter storms came with high, warm temperatures and a lot of precipitation, but it all fell as rain. And another element that has impacted is that we've started the growth of the fine fuels and grasses started a lot earlier than normal. This season, so it's setting us up for also an earlier time when they cure out and we start transitioning into one they'll be more flammable.
That leads me into a next question for you, Kristen, looking at some of those vegetations and the fuels that we see fuel these fires. When it comes to potential wildfire fuels in Northern California, is there a particular vegetation or areas that are seen as the biggest risks?
Well, anything that is going to have grass on it, since it is, we're looking at a second germination for one. Also, a couple of things is a couple of our counties, that precipitation that Julia was talking about, is we're seeing a 73% increase in fine fuels in Del Norte County, Trinity County, quite a few. So that big increase, when you have those fine fuels, that allows that fills in those gaps so that it can move it into the brush. So it's an easy start as well. So those fine fuels are going to dry out a lot quicker and they're going to be available. An example last week is the Canyon Fire that was down south, but that fire went to 800 acres in 10 minutes, burning in grass in the lowland. So that just gives you kind of an indication of how quickly that was actually started by an air aviation crash, but the magnitude of it burning in those grass lands when you have the temperatures and the wind aligned, you can really see a lot of growth.
When we talk about fuel risk, can you give us a sense of what we're picturing? Because I'm picturing, grass, dry grass on the side of the road. But is that the whole story, brush, or is there more to what we talk about when we talk about the fuel that can risk starting a wildfire?
And most of it is those fine fuels because it is readily sourced. So it actually dries up very quickly. We are going to have quite a bit of dead grass here shortly. That second germination is actually providing even more bountiful growth crop. And usually that's going to drive when you have that fine fuel that is continuous right up to that brush. That's what will actually allow it to propagate into that brush. Whereas if you didn't have those fine fuels where they were continuous, it would be able to be stopped a lot readily. After it moves into the brush, it's a little bit harder to put out. And then from that brush, it moves up into the trees. And that snowpack does actually, when we don't have as much snow, you're going to have those trees are going to be more stressed. They're going to be more susceptible. And that does play a role in that susceptibility when we do actually get those fires.
This is a question for you both. What do current conditions look like right now in California? And is that typical for this time of year compared to years past?
So as far as the weather conditions right now, as far as the last couple of days, we've been in a pattern with above normal temperatures and low humidities, but that's fairly common in May to start getting into warmer, drier periods. And it does looking like we're transitioning into continued warmer and drier conditions as we move through the week. So I do think things are going to continue to dry out rather quickly in the short term, which is going to get us closer to the more active portion of fire season.
On the fuel side, again, we're looking at our rolling into our peak season. So anything that wasn't already available now with these temperatures that we're starting to see in the warming and drying trend will be rolling into our normal peak season anyway. It's just that this year, with the additional grass crop, that availability to move into susceptibility for brush and trees and large fire growth are there.
With recent reports of California potentially facing a rather busy wildfire season ahead, what conditions, how are you expecting those conditions to evolve over the course of this year, Kristen?
We're set up to have, and I do want to say, so an average year, even in California, especially in the Southlands, we're still looking at about, 5,000 fires a year. And up in the North Country, that's still around 3,600. That's an average year. So when you're talking about that average versus above average, there's just still very, very large numbers. I think that the biggest thing is going to be the wild card of, again, most of our starts in California are human caused. So the wild card is, you know, that those accidents that happen, like the aviation, when people leave their campfires, those things that start fires, and then also lightning in the north half of the state, those things are going to be the drivers of where you get those ignitions. So a lot of it is very dependent on where those starts by humans are, and also whether or not any of that late season precipitation comes with lightning, or if it doesn't come with precipitation at all.
Yeah, so that's looking at the way in which those fires can start, which, as you mentioned, in any given year in California can be quite numerous. In you all's work, do you all have a sense of what tends to ultimately drive how severe wildfires can be? The things that, the conditions that look to take some of those starts, whether they're human-made or lightning strikes, and can turn into some of the much bigger, more catastrophic wildfires that we've seen, the conditions that lead to those?
So from a weather perspective, it really comes down to a lot of the sequence of the different weather events that happen. If we have a week or two of heat wave conditions, hot, dry conditions, especially after a prolonged drought or it's been dry for months, that'll really precondition the fuels. Then if we got a lightning outbreak that didn't have a lot of moisture with it, strong winds, low relative humidities, very poor humidity recoveries overnight, where it stays warm and dry all night long, as those elements come together, and especially the more of them you have and the sequence that they occur, is what can drive some of what really drives some of our largest fires.
Well, Julia and Kristen, thanks so much for joining us to give us sort of an outlook and breakdown of what we can look to be on the lookout for as we head into wildfire season. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Julia Ruth Ford and Kristen Allison are with the U.S. Forest Service. You're listening to Insight here on CAMP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're getting a preview of peak wildfire season here in California. Now I want to bring in CAL FIRE Battalion Chief David Acuna to talk more about the state's preparedness and response. David, welcome to Insight.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
So what kind of fire activity have we seen so far this year? Any hot spots or areas of concern?
So we're always aware of what's going on across the state. In terms of the number of wildfires, it's about average. The number of acres, again, about average. If you go to our website, fire.ca.gov, we have a list of the last 5 years average. And on average, it's about 21,000 acres. We're currently at 18. Obviously, last year for 2025, we had a much larger number, 63,000. But that's abnormal. We're not generally going to see that, particularly this early in the year. However, it does back up the need for us to utilize the term peak fire year rather than the antiquated fire season that we used to use.
Yeah, because some people say with the changes in conditions that wildfire risk is a year-round type of project to undertake. Has there been any noticeable differences either this year or in the larger trends between Northern California, Southern California, or other parts of the state when it comes to wildfire?
You know, every area has its own unique fuels, weather, and topography. And with CAL FIRE monitoring what's happening from Siskiyou to San Diego, it's quite different. As you can imagine, what affects the fuels in Siskiyou County is quite a bit different than what happens in San Diego County. However, as an overall awareness, our Wildfire Threat and Integration Center, WFTIC, keeps an eye on all of the fuels, the weather, and determines where we need to move resources around. So that if there is a higher risk, let's say in Southern California, we'll move resources from the north. Vice versa, if there's a lightning bust that's expected in the north, then we'll move resources from the south. Wherever it's needed, we'll send it to the highest risk.
We've talked about this year's poor snowpack, but if we go even larger, what kind of impact does climate change have on wildfires?
Well, climate change has really been interesting because we have, in general, been receiving more rain than we had traditionally in the last, say, 30 years. But what that's led to is led to an increased amount of grass growth. So when we look at having more frequent periods of rain. For example, here in 2026, we've had a few times where we've had rain and then dry, particularly in central and northern California. And what that's done is allowed additional grass crops to grow. So one way to look at it is as we have a grass crop grows, it dies and it lays over. The next year grows, dies, lays over. Not only has it been happening on a yearly basis, but also in August of 2023, we had a tropical storm go right up California, and that led to a bumper crop then as well. And so all of these layers have formed what's essentially a haystack on the lands across California. And so once a fire burns, it burns very intensely. Even if there's green grass on top, there's layers and layers of dead fuels underneath.
Wow. Yeah. And it's such the macro view. Normally you would think, oh, a good rainy year is a good thing, but it's all about taking a look at all the factors that go into keeping people safe.
It sure is.
We just heard from the Forest Service, but what kind of conditions and factors does CAL FIRE take into account when preparing or monitoring conditions throughout the year?
You know, thankfully, we work very closely with the Forest Service partners, and wildfire is very simple physics. It's fuel, weather, and topography, and that's it. That's all it really has to do with. And so by utilizing the information on what are the fuels doing, particularly the lightest fuels, as your guests mentioned, what is the weather? For example, today through 10 o'clock, we have wind and heat advisories through central California, and then we also have a red flag warning across Kern and up into the West Hills area. And all of those are processes that we've received from the National Weather Service to help us understand where the risks are and where to move resources.
Now, you were just mentioning that the old sort of misnomer at this point of a wildfire season has changed into a year. But as we head into what at least used to be referred to as peak wildfire season, what kind of preparations has the agency made as we approach that time of the year?
Yeah, so it's been really interesting to see that we're fortunate to have the support of the state and that we've been able to start bringing on our former Firefighter 1 seasonal employees and transitioning them into Firefighter 2 permanent employees, because we do need to have our 356 state brush engines available 365 days a year. And so it's very important for us to have that staffing to be able to react and a moment's notice, whether it's July or January.
So staffing up. I also hear often when thinking of wildfire that the response is something that is, of course, very important and necessary. But also a lot of preparation comes down to educating people about what they could do to help prevent risks in their areas, particularly those that live in fire zones. The state has put significant resources into home hardening and defensible space. How do those types of measures help mitigate risk?
Yeah, we're actually in Wildfire Preparedness Week last week and continues through May. And what we're focusing is to have people look at our website, readyforwildfire.org, and they'll find resources there on how to prevent starting another wildfire. If they are doing grass work, don't do it in the middle of the day. Or if they're going to be working with, welding and out and on one of their fences, they have to do that, you know, using significant caution. Having said that, there's also steps for home hardening defensible space, particularly in the zone zero, the first 5 feet outside from the home. And then looking onto that website for what preparation steps can people take? Should they need to know two ways out of their neighborhood in case one way gets blocked? They need to know how do they evacuate? Where would they go? Where's the people shelters, the small animal shelters, the large animal shelters, livestock shelters? And then also how to pack a go bag for your family, for your medically frail people, as well as for your pets. All these are very important to have ready to go at a moment's notice.
Well, thank you, David, so much for sharing those important reminders for people as we head into, again, a heightening of the wildfire season.
Definitely.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
David Acuna is a CAL FIRE Battalion Chief. We've been taking a current look at wildfire conditions and preparedness across California ahead of peak fire season. Still ahead, would you ever join a cult? The host of Snap Judgment knows a thing or two about that very thing. Glenn Washington joins us ahead of his performance at this month's In a Nutshell storytelling series. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, and we're back in just a moment.